Total Sports Enterprises knows their fans like deals. And when better to get the best deals than after the holidays? Head to TSE at the Mall at Robinson for everything from signed and unsigned athlete picks to Palomalu puzzles and sales on your favorite pucks.
Yes, and still don't want to be at the mall or hit the mall? Visit TSEshop.com and browse anytime for any and all of your black and gold needs. Now that we've hit record on the recorder, we're going to start the Jagoff podcast from the Heinz History Center with our Hamilton feature.
According to the Oxford Dictionary, the word Jagoff is defined as a noun, which means a stupid, irritating, or...
Here's how Pittsburghers define a word Jagoff. When someone cuts you off on a parkway.
Jagoff!
Or someone scares the out of you.
Yeah, Jagoff!
Or it's a term of endearment.
How you been, Jagoff?
Hey, everybody, it's Jim Crenn.
Hey, it's Bonnie Diver.
This is Kevin Wild Bill.
This is Mark Madden.
Hi, this is Rocky Blair.
I'm Jackie Kane. And this is the You Jagoff Podcast.
So this is the Jagoff podcast. Now, we ran about 10 minutes, thank God, no guests, and I finally decided I better hit the record button. So
yep.
Here we are at the Heinz History Center. Brady and Leslie have welcomed us for our special episode, as we talked about in our warm-up.
Yeah, they didn't know we like to practice first.
Yeah, you usually come up with all the brilliant ideas, and four days ago, I had a Rachel-like idea, and said we need to do a Hamilton-related podcast, and so we called James Hamilton, the comedian, and some other folks that we'll talk about in a second, and here we are at the Heinz History Center.
Right, and so we are perfectly calling this 6 Degrees of Hamilton, the episode, instead of 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. We're figuring out all the things that are all things Hamilton, because basically, if you are alive in Pittsburgh, you know that Hamilton, the musical, is here from January 1st to January 27th at the Benenham Center.
Exactly, and it's a big coup to have it here. And so before we talk about all the guests, this is when we talk about what was on the blog this week. Right?
For sure. And we're so glad that the holidays are over. We've wrapped them up. We are done talking about, you were just talking about Michaels and Pat Kattan's, and why are they happy that we're done?
Right, because we issued the challenge last year. Brandon
Markowitz
started it, where he went to a Pat Kattan's and spelt the word the phrase Jagoff out
in wooden letters.
Stockings.
Right.
So last year we had that, and this year we had people from Colorado and whatever. You can go to the website and find it. It's the Jagoff challenge, and so we're going to give away a prize for that.
It's over.
So Pat Kattan's and Michaels, you're all really happy that people aren't lurking in your in your stores.
Yes.
So and then Bird Box is out, and that's equating to stupid parents.
Yeah. Well, that's because you and I had a conversation where I'm petrified of scary movies, but my husband and my middle son were desperately getting me to watch this movie from Netflix, and so now I can't stop talking about it, and then the next thing in the media is this trend where people are now blindfolding themselves, which is obviously a take from the movie to kind of video what they're doing and how they're wrecking into things, and it's just crazy. They must not have any super guidance.
Zero brain.
Parental.
Yes, we were on the blog.
Yes.
And typically, you know, the blog writes about all the people embarrassing the rest of us Pittsburghers. I don't think there was a Pittsburgh person involved in that yet, but it's still, it's kind of like the warning shot.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's always a little bit behind, though.
If you do this stupid thing.
Yeah, right.
Right. So,
but we also have to talk about where you can hear us.
Yes. So we can hear
you're not testing me. It's your turn.
So you can hear us every Tuesday on the blog, jagoff.com. Just go on there and hit play while you're working or riding around or whatever. You can hear us on iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, make sure you leave a comment. Tell us how brilliant you think my idea was about Hamilton.
And pressing record.
Right. Yeah. Remember to press record on the recording device. And Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, and
iTunes, iHeart.
What's the other one? There's
iTunes, iHeart.
I didn't say iTunes.
Did you?
Another one.
All right.
And of course, then you hear us every Thursday
on the
24-hour radio internet station, the River's Edge.
Yeah. Now, do not press play, blindfold yourself, and drive.
Right.
That's the one.
If
you know.
Do have someone take.
We will write about you. Right. So perfect segue into what not to do. Now what to do is listen to this, because we have an all-star cast of guests, just like we have an all-star cast for Hamilton, the production. So one of the people, that we're so lucky to have talked to before is Leslie from the, Heinz History Center. Nope. I looked at you to do it.
Zabolik.
It's Sibilic.
Listen, Brady told us not to look at it.
You
can blindfold yourself and try to say it.
Yeah, there you go. Or put my glasses on.
And then, let's let's go through the list of guests before we talk to Leslie, right? Because Leslie's our.
I just wanted to welcome her in case we didn't press record
she's
again.
She's still sitting there, yeah. Right? She's like, yeah. Would this ever start? So Marilyn Walsh is here from Baptist Homes Providence Point,
yeah.
Which is a retirement community. And it's built on the ground where some of this Whiskey Rebellion.
And I love that you're trying so hard not to say facility.
I know. Because
you know
right.
That is a no-no with right. Providence Point.
Right.
And your brilliant idea of having this fantastic comedian whose last name is?
Hamilton.
I love it.
Right.
I just think, you know, we do quirky things and pulling it all together. Especially, I cannot wait for everyone to hear these amazing musicians.
Yeah.
So you found them as well.
Again, kudos to the River's Edge. Put up there, hey, does any local band have a song about whiskey or history? They're like, here's me.
And they're fantastic.
Yeah, they're fantastic. So you're going to love their music in mm-hmm. between. So now we could talk to guests.
To Leslie. What's her last name?
Sabelic.
Go ahead, Leslie.
See?
Welcome. Thank you for having us again. We certainly appreciate it.
We're happy that you're here.
Yeah.
You add a whole new level of excitement
right.
to our innovation.
And repeat. And
boy,
repeat.
That is the first time we've ever heard that.
So exactly explain where we are, because this is obviously an audio podcast, but explain where we are within the History Center and where people will be able to find you once this comes out on Tuesday. So what area are we in and why is it important to Hamilton?
Well, right now we're in the museum's second floor exhibit that's called Pittsburgh, A Tradition of Innovation. And it's not just based in the 1700s, but it looks at from the start of Pittsburgh, even before there were people really, at least Western settlers really living here, the different things that have happened over time with people growing our industries, tech, new ideas, how do they push things forward? And yes, that includes the people who kind of stood up and said, we're not for the tax, and protested the Whiskey Rebellion. So we're really looking at Pittsburgh's long tradition of people who kind of pushed the envelope, tested new things, or got their ideas out there, regardless of what the cost was.
Sure, sure. Have you, as a history center, gotten an influx of people since Hamilton's been here? I mean, 'cause I feel like if you're not a history buff, there's something about that. Just as when we spoke with Robin from the Cultural Trust, we talked about some people just aren't theater attendees, but there's something about Hamilton that makes you want to go to the theater. Have you guys noticed that yet, or are you expecting that to kind of happen within next week?
Well, you know, I think the show just opened.
It did,
just
yeah.
after, so we haven't seen a lot of it yet, and we've got so many things going on here. We have an exhibition called Destination Moon with the Apollo
right.
space capsule, so we're still seeing
that.
The audiences come with crowds for that, but yes, I do think we'll see others come for Hamilton. And of course, we couldn't just stand by and watch. We had to have our own program as part of the act. So next week, we're having a special program here that really looks at Hamilton from the historic point of view, and we're expecting
wow.
a nice turnout for that.
Is it Andy Masick singing?
It is
one of
it
the.
Is not a sung program. It's not a musical
he will not
presentation.
Be there, will he?
I love
no,
it.
So we've seen the play thanks to the Cultural Trust at this point, and. It looks like some people we probably should be hating on Alexander Hamilton, despite
yeah.
the fact that there's this play all about his life.
Yes, you know, you
like,
have other...
hate him like Cleveland Brown level or
there
Baltimore
were
Raven
people
level?
Who hated him like the Cleveland Brown level and then some.
Wow.
You know, he really was the person who pushed forward this idea of an excise tax on whiskey, the first tax really on a domestic product. And it really hit people out here in what was at that time the Western frontier very, very hard. And in fact, it wasn't just Pennsylvania. It was Kentucky, North Carolina, Ohio, Maryland, what we now think of as West Virginia, but Virginia, there were areas throughout this region where they simply could not collect this tax. But Western Pennsylvanians took the response to a whole new level. And from 1791 to 1794, they made it very, very clear that they were not paying that tax and they would do anything possible to prevent others from doing so.
And as history yeah. develops, now we have obviously hundreds of years to look at, was it a smart idea to have the tax and did it help? Or no, was it really just a cheap way to make some money?
Ooh,
was it a money grab?
That's she's
putting
say
me
it was a good
on
question.
The spot.
You
know,
wait,
there,
listen, it is 2019. She wasn't around then. She doesn't know.
I will say that there are historians who look at it in both ways.
Okay.
That there were needs to do what they were doing. There are some people who argue that Hamilton and the Federalists who pushed forward the tax were trying to do what they believed was the right thing, and they miscalculated the response in the frontier. There are others who now argue that he knew full well what would be prompted when he did that, and there really were larger ulterior motives about looking at strengthening the power of the federal government. So it's hard. A historian now wouldn't go back and say, oh, yes, that was the right thing to do or it was the wrong thing to do. But we look at what were the causes of it and then why did people react here so badly? Were there other things that could have been done?
Yeah.
There are people who will argue that ultimately, you know, in Hamilton, the musical doesn't stray away from Hamilton's beliefs about economics and the power of the nation, and he kind of accomplished what he set out to do. The U.S. government as a national organization was stronger after the Whiskey Rebellion.
Yeah.
That is a true point. Now, are you noticing, just having talking to people, being here all the time, not even Hamilton-based, but is this an era that people focus on more often than not?
You know, they do focus on it somewhat here because we also, one, we also have the connection with Fort Pitt.
Right.
And from the French and Indian War up through the Revolutionary War, the stories of George Washington, who's connected with Hamilton, and then the Whiskey Rebellion especially has become really, really popular over the last few years. And we do a lot of programs with groups like Wiggle Whiskey.
Right.
And we've seen a real increase in the interest in that. So French and Indian War has always been part of our kind of focus. The Whiskey Rebellion has become more so over time as public interest in, well, whiskey, among other things, has really increased.
And I was going to say, and what about you outside of being, you know, affiliated with the History Center? John often poses the question, if you're at a party, what do they ask you kind of thing? Because they probably know that you work here. Has this, you know, conjured some kind of talk where people want to talk about more? I mean, Marilyn, I'm sure,
can
right?
Can I intervene here? Every time I ask that question, she goes,
I get annoyed.
Same question. Now she just asked a question.
But in this instance, it's a good one.
The irony here is you're asking me, and I'm looking at another
Marilyn,
guest.
Yes.
We were just at a Christmas gathering last weekend, and we're talking about this. But yes, I mean, people do ask now about the Whiskey Rebellion. Rye whiskey especially is
right
up there, and it's everybody from
rye
someone
whiskey,
at a party to...
Andy sings that
Andy
anytime
we're
around him.
We've had columnists from the New York Times call us to ask about
really?
Rye whiskey.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, cool.
Recently?
Yeah.
More recent because of
yes.
this.
Although
okay.
Now they're verging out. They're looking at the story of Maryland whiskey, too. It's separate from Monongahela rye, but they're kind of interconnected. So.
Wow, you guys are... I mean, not only do you have the Yajaga podcast, but you also have New York Times.
That's cool stuff.
You've made it. You've made it. Congrats.
Right. So, Leslie, let's hone in. You do have an event that's coming up that's Alexander Hamilton focused, and when is
we
it?
We do.
What is it?
It's January 10th. It's called Hamilton Remix, and it's an event that really looks at both the things that the musical gets right in terms of history, and there are some things where Lin-Manuel Miranda kind of creatively re-envisioned, consolidated, reshaped, and we're going to be looking at some of that, too. It's
okay.
Richard Bell. He's a history professor from the University of Maryland, but I have to say he's very interactive in how he asks a lot of questions. He gets the audience really involved in the discussion. He focuses on revolutionary and federalist topics,
okay.
Revolutionary
That's
war
great.
Topics. Why did loyalists stay or leave the country? He's really interested in both sides of this debate, and he sees it as a transformative musical, but he also sees that there has been a debate about the history.
I was going to say, and I've read a lot recently, and I if I'm not mistaken, and maybe you guys know, I thought that the writer said he was well aware that he had changed enough, you know, to make the raps fit into the production,
I'll
right?
I'll tell you, and have you seen it? Have you seen
I am going to be seeing it in the next couple
the
weeks.
The rap battles are incredible.
We won't ruin it for you. It has something to do with Whiskey Rebellion.
I've done some of my own YouTube.
right. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. I just...
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we have a question of the day. As you know, you've been on our podcast before. We have a question of the day, and this is the toughest part of the whole
podcast. Don't get nervous.
Podcast.
Everybody else gets to hear it.
Yeah,
so.
Right. They get to cheat.
Robin nailed it, and she had a couple other thoughts other than just the one answer. So you might have one or you might have many. So since it's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon scenario, but with Hamilton, who are you 6 degrees or cousins or twice removed related to or know who's a celebrity? Doesn't have to be Hamilton because you're clearly not related to Hamilton. But do you have some kind of claim to fame, 6 degrees, that you could boast about?
I'm not sure how I'm supposed to actually answer that.
Rachel Rennebeck from the Jagoff podcast.
You is my friend.
That would be one.
Is my friend. No, seriously.
Can it be someone I just... like crossed paths?
Yes.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Then in that case, you know, the History Center has been doing a project to document the history of the movies here in Pittsburgh.
Sure.
And a couple of us were on set when Russell Crowe walked
by. Oh, my God. Did you smell him?
Now, everybody got really quiet and turned around, and no one looked at him as he walked
yeah.
in the middle of us. But, yeah, that would be my celebrity contact.
Okay. All right. Nice. That's close. Nice. So you could be like, I was the lady who walked past Russell Crowe in the History Center.
Yes.
I love it.
So tell everybody where they find your History Center on Instagram and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. It's, Heinz History,
that's a
right?
Brady, come back in.
Attention, Brady.
At History Center on Instagram and Twitter.
Nice.
You can look us up on Facebook, too. Okay.
There you go.
Brady's cool. That guy that he lurks, and yeah, then when you need him, you just pull him in.
Yep, he's like the lifeguard. He jumps in, yeah.
You didn't know if we were recording, so you were waiting, right. Yeah. Part of, and however you want to phrase it, the iconic Hamilton here in Pittsburgh. But the director of communications for the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, Robin Elrod, has agreed to give us, you know, a little bit of insight on what it was like to bring that amazing production to Pittsburgh. I mean, how excited, what did you think of it, John?
It's so good. I mean, I don't know. It's funny because I think of some of the older people that I know that go to the theater, and I thought they better have their rapid fire listening.
Yeah, like older than us.
Yeah, right. But I was on my edge the entire time. It was so, like, you walk out of there, you want to jog to Toledo.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I felt like we kept commentating because we couldn't believe it. Like, we would turn and be like, oh, how about that? You just don't understand the energy. It's just crazy. So we have to say welcome to Robin Elrod. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today, Robin.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Anytime.
So the energy, we talked about the energy of the show. Does that kick into you, or are you pretty much, you're 1 week down, you're like, okay, I'm on rollerblades, I'm sleeping in row 7 of the Benedum Theater. How's life right now as Hamilton gets through its first week?
Oh man. I mean, I would say that the excitement has just grown. I mean, the show is just so exciting, and I keep waiting for it to kind of hit that plateau whenever things kind of calm down around the Benedum Center and around our office. But the excitement is just mounting because this production is just so incredible. And as we see these audiences come in to the Benedum each night and experience the show for the first time, it's just like reliving that magic all over again.
And I can't even imagine. I mean, you certainly have, I'm sure people are walking out giving you testimonials about what they think about it. And I can't imagine any complaints. I mean, I know there's always something that people say, but I can't see anybody walking out of there disappointed.
No, not at all.
What are some of the comments you're hearing?
Oh, just, you know, what you would expect. I can't believe how incredible it was. I, you know, loved it so much.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite things to hear from people are that, you know, they've been listening to this soundtrack for years now.
Yes.
And just like waiting for their chance to see it. And they're like, I can't believe I finally get to see it on stage.
The
word that I've heard a lot is hype.
Yes.
From people, that it lives up to the hype. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like the word hype usually has kind of a negative connotation.
Right.
But, you know, this show just is truly incredible. And I think that, you know, for those people who have been listening to the soundtrack and have memorized every single word, they're not going to be disappointed.
No. And that's exactly, I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, most people like the theater for some reason, and everybody has their favorite something. And, you know, when we posted after we saw it, we said, you know, there's people who adore Mamma Mia. There's those Wicked heads and, you know, even Fan of the Opera people. But this had a culture of its own. And so you almost sat back to see, like you said, did it live up to the hype? And 1,000%. Again, I think people who didn't even know what to expect were walking out of there just in awe. There's no adjective to explain, but you're right. The hype is, it's true. It's there, and I can't see it dying down. So kudos to you guys. What is the preparation like with the production like this? Is it any different than it would be for any other show or any other production?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. With this show being so big and in such high demand, the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust has been preparing for people to come into the Benedum to see it for a bit longer than, you know, we have for shorter run Broadway shows. I mean, just in the fact that it's 4 weeks long in Pittsburgh, and we're going to be seeing so many people come through the Benedum Center to see it. So we've been preparing for this for, you know, more than a year now, and it's just, it's amazing that it's finally here and happening.
Sure.
Robin, is it a competitive process? Like, are we bidding against other cities to get it here this quickly? Or do they want to come here? Does Pittsburgh have a good scene and that they're, wow, Pittsburgh is a place we want to be?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. Whenever we're booking our Broadway shows, the growing arts community in Pittsburgh is definitely one of the biggest factors that these shows are looking at. They want to come, just like you said, to cities that are exciting, right, that have that art scene. And I think our cultural district is really a testament to that. And all of the great resident companies that we have in the cultural district contribute to that as well. And I guess our hope in bringing something like Hamilton to Pittsburgh is that we're going to have a great economic impact from the show coming into town.
Sure, sure. So I did want to talk real quickly, though, as far as numbers, did you ever, I know you're certainly much younger than we are, but in your career, your time, have you seen the numbers in which people are trying? I know people were talking about they're on a waiting list with zeros, you know, in front of or behind their number on a waiting list to try to see this production. What was that like? And have you done a lottery system, or is that something that is coming along with the production of Hamilton?
Yeah. So to answer your first question, we definitely, I personally haven't seen interest in a Broadway production as high as this one, which is sure, really exciting for me, because I also have a deep love for Broadway. So it's so great to see that thriving in Pittsburgh and also across the country. And so in regards to the lottery, we actually do a lottery for almost all of our touring Broadway productions that come to Pittsburgh.
Gotcha.
And so since this lottery for Hamilton has been such very high profile, I'm really hopeful that this is going to bring some awareness to the lotteries that we do for other shows.
Right.
And people, you know, can enter the lottery maybe the next time Wicked's here or for the next Broadway show that's coming down the pike.
Gotcha. Well, I certainly think that it's set the precedent of wanting to go to the theater. People who don't always go, I think something like this, once you see it, you're smitten. Obviously the production, the caliber of the cast, that kind of thing. But I think it also just reinstates the need to go to the theater. So awesome job. We're so excited for you guys.
Yeah, congratulations to you and your team. Really getting, again, don't know what the competitive process is, but awesome to know that it's here. And we appreciate it. Now, here comes the toughest question of the day. We know you're a highly skilled public relations professional, but these questions typically stump all of our guests. But this is Rachel's question of the day.
Okay. And let me first say, it is early in the morning, and you are doing us the favor by being on. So if you need a minute, we certainly understand. So the question of the day, the common thread, since this is kind of our 6 degrees of Hamilton episode, we have all kinds of different things that are surrounding the phenomenon that is Hamilton. You've heard of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, right?
Yes.
So, do you have any 6 degrees of anybody, royalty, celebrity, anybody you've even met, like your third cousin's roommate somehow was related to, I don't know, the Bush family or something like that? Do you have any kind of claim to fame?
Actually, I do have a claim to fame.
Okay.
So, I used to perform with a caroling group called the Holiday Harmonies.
Okay.
And whenever the movie Love the Coopers was being filmed in Pittsburgh,
yes,
for the Christmas movie, we were chosen to be kind of a caroling group extra in the film.
Wow.
And so I don't know if that's something you were looking for, but
that's it. That's
I'm
fine.
I'm in a mood.
No, that's perfect. And like John said, those are always the hard hitting. So you hit it immediately without even hesitation.
So I was in a movie scene with Diane Keaton and John Goodman. So there we go.
Wow. Look at you.
Oh, yeah.
We're lucky to rub elbows with you. There you go. Well, listen, Robin, we thank you so much for your time today. We're certainly going to we don't have to promote Hamilton because people are coming like crazy, but we're certainly going to pass along just the amazing, you know, support that you guys have with the theater in general to keep theater alive in Pittsburgh. We're proud to be a part of that, you know, sensation that's growing. And again, we thank you for helping bring Hamilton here.
Oh, well, thank you for your support and for coming out, and thanks to everyone who's coming to see Hamilton and all of our other shows in the Cultural District.
Awesome. And where can we find, you know, the Cultural Trust and where people can find out what other things are going on that they can see, productions, theater, everything?
Yeah, so trustarts.org is going to be your best place to look for information on Hamilton, but then also on all of the other wonderful skeletons that live
behind my smile.
Thank you, Robin.
Sin looks sweeter than a candlestick, but my heart is as heavy as a cinder brick, so I've got to trick my conscience for a while. I'm gonna live before I'm dead.
So we're listening to The Whelming Waters. And I have to say, John gave me credit for the, you know, having brilliance in general, but this was all you're doing. I know, it was an awe moment. But this is our 6 Degrees of Hamilton episode, and you found this band, again, by going to the River's Edge because it's local, which we love. And I just can't believe the harmonies. You know, coming from a musical family, I love listening to that kind of stuff. John has brought us heavy metal. He's brought us craziness, and trust me, to hear that, I adore it. So thank you. Good job, John.
Aww.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So who's our next guest?
Marilyn Walsh is a people we help Marilyn with marketing and what have you, but she represents the Baptist Homes and Providence Point, which is in Collier Township. And the coolest part about it is it's Scott Township. Look, she's like, no, it's so close. Stop. Scott Township. Listen, I am way less geographically challenged than that.
Oh, area. Right.
The cool part is that we want to talk about what Providence Point is, but the even more cool how it entwines into this episode, because it's built on a property that is associated with the Whiskey Rebellion in Alexander Hamilton, right?
Correct.
So tell us about that first. First of all, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, welcome. Right. And he remembers your name. That's why I let him introduce you, because that doesn't happen all the time, Marilyn. So, yeah, definitely talk about why it's so important that Providence Point has representation.
Well, Providence Point is built on Bower Hill, which is out in the South Hills of Pittsburgh, and it opened about 10 years ago on land that was once the estate of General John Neville. Was it John Neville? I'm going to look at somebody.
John Neville.
There you go. Phoned a friend. That's good. Yeah.
He was the tax collector that started all of the issues with the Whiskey Rebellion, where they went and came up to his estate. All the rebels came up and burned his big estate down. So we are now situated on top of that land that was his big estate. And all of the places, we've used that history and named all of the buildings and the facilities within the...
nice.
She almost said the F word.
Named with that in mind. So we have Washington Way, which is named after George Washington. We have Adams Avenue, which is John Adams. And we have...
Monroe Court.
The Light Horse Lounge, which is named after Light Horse... Harry Lee. I'm going to look at my historian because they have used it, and we also appreciate that history that's there.
So John Neville was an agent of Alexander Hamilton executing the tax, implementing the tax, and people hated him for that and burned his place down.
Neville was the tax collector.
Yeah, okay. Got it. That's good.
Light Horse Harry Lee led troops there to quell the rebellion, but that was sort of the area where the turning point came. There had been issues with the rebellion going on before that, but when they came up and burned his estate, that was the sort of turning point where this has gotten really serious and somebody died and, you know, so.
All right, so now we can stop testing your history because I think you
passed. But she knows it, yeah. Well, and I have to say, so last year, because, you know, we have worked on getting people interested in the fact that Providence Point has grown and become such a robust community for retirement that there was a need for another residential area. So first, the board had to come up with what it was going to be named. And then we were given the task of getting people to know why they should live there, which we're still doing. Talk about that. What was that conversation like in the boardroom where you're all talking about, we have these fantastic names like Monroe and Adams and Washington. What do we name this new residential, you know, location? And
Hamilton became? Tower was the easy solution.
Right.
And it was right when the, sort of at the time, whenever the musical had come to fruition. But there had been an intention really not to name things Hamilton prior to that because of his his reputation in the area not always being like that
favorable. So now it is Hamilton, and it kind of just falls right into place with all the other historical elements of Providence Point. And it's now become this place where, obviously under construction, for what feels like years, and it's only been since, what, May? May 31st.
Well, they broke ground on, on June 1st.
And Providence Point is a place where it's a retirement community where active seniors could go to either live independently in a condo or live independently in an apartment. And have kind of all their needs taken care of this when they're tired of cutting the grass, when they're tired of pushing the snow, and their food is prepared for them, or they can prepare their own. And on top of all that, it's kind of like a health care guarantee, right?
Yes. It's called a CCRC.
Okay.
And it is, I wouldn't say all your needs are taken care of. It's up to you. It's your choice whether you want to have, you know, you can go down and have meals in one of four dining venues, or you have a beautiful kitchen in your apartment or patio home, and you can prepare your own meals. They have tons of things to do. There's a fitness center and a pool and spa, and there's a, you know, programs. There's history. There's activities. There's card clubs. There are outings to the cultural district, and you can take as part of it as much as you want or not. But there's also that guarantee that no matter what happens as you age, you are taken care of. You're part of the community, and that's sort of what you have. You, when you move in, you get that peace of mind knowing that you're taken care of.
And having talked to a lot of the residents, as we have, what they like to say is that they have given their children a gift by saying, we chose this. We're moving in at an age where we can actually enjoy it. And I think it's so important to mention, Pittsburgh is full of great facilities. This is not a facility. It's a community in the sense that these are people who are going there to continue to live. They're so active. When you say there's a calendar of events, it's every day. There's not a day that there's something that they're not doing. And it's not bingo, right? I mean, they like bingo, but they are learning iPad use. And they're keeping up and being technologically savvy because they want to continue with the pattern of life.
Right.
You know, I think that's the kind of thing that has to be said about the residents who are there.
Yeah, if you're envisioning a retirement community, you may have this sort of this negative connotation in, you know, where people go there to die. That's people go there and they say, we want it.
We want to live until we die
because we want to live here and for the rest of our lives because it's so active.
Including John. He tries to stay there often. We tell him, no, go home.
Well, there's a lot to do, and there's people that still go to work every day. There's people that travel around the world, but it's easy to lock up and just go and come back.
Yeah.
So there's that, too.
That's the key.
Yeah, but let's talk about specifically Hamilton. So, yes, there are patio homes. There are, you know, apartments that they can live. But Hamilton, what can they expect that's different for Hamilton?
Well, Hamilton is the same as the other apartment towers, but they're all new floor plans. It looks out on a different area. It's all connected inside. You can get inside access to all of the other amenities, which are the dining venues. And there's garage parking. You just take the elevator straight down to the ground floor so you don't have to go outside to get your car.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah. There's all. It's the same. It's added on. It's just newer floor plans, and there's 70 apartments, and right now there's only about 12 left to reserve.
And when you say floor plan, we're not talking about like 800 feet of apartment space.
Well, they start at about 800 feet, but they also go up to about 2,000 square feet for those apartments.
Right.
The patio homes go up to 4,000 square feet.
It's crazy. It's a beautiful place. You open the door and you see this sort of like, it's like Disney.
He always says that.
There's like 29,000 feet in here of stuff. Right. It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
We're proud of it.
And it is built on that hillside where Hamilton, or where, where the Whiskey Rebellion was. Nice. Beautiful views.
Yes, it is beautiful views.
And before we wrap up, we have to say that we will be celebrating Providence Point's 10 years this year. So we'll have to look forward and have you back on whenever we can announce those festivities, but they're certainly going to tie into the Whiskey Rebellion.
They actually, we have not announced it yet.
Oh, wait.
We will have our own signature drink for the 10-year anniversary, which amazingly includes a little whiskey.
No way. Because they like to
drink.
No. Marilyn, where can we find Providence Point, Hamilton, Baptist Homes on social media or website?
You know.
Do you want
that.
Me to do that? So it's providencepoint.org and it's Baptist Homes, which we have to say, Baptist Homes sort of started the whole Providence Point, and Baptist Homes was an orphanage, right?
An orphanage and a home for the elderly.
Right.
With 110 years of history. Yep.
Isn't that awesome? See, it's all about history here.
So let's go to the question, Marilyn. Now
all right.
I know
you heard it, so you had time to think. It's not fair. All right. Question of the day. Since it's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but not, it's a Hamilton episode. Who have you crossed paths with, or your cousin twice removed had a roommate that was not Russell Crowe walking through the Heinz History Center?
Well, I have to just pick my local.
All right.
A long time ago, when Heaven opened.
Okay, I remember
I'm
Heaven.
I'm doing a Pittsburgh traditional thing. We had all the Steelers there. Right. And I was on the dance floor.
That's our sound effect for music, Marilyn. But go ahead.
And I happened to kind of trip over because
of course you did.
And I turned around and Lynn Swann saved me from falling.
So because he was a ballet. Didn't they say he had to take ballet lessons? Well,
everybody was on the dance floor.
That's so awesome. Swan. I love it.
Awesome.
That was his immaculate reception.
He took a beat there. Yeah, right.
I try. Total Sports would be happy to know that I knew that or said it.
That's
well,
cool.
Thank you, Marilyn. We certainly appreciate having you on. We get to work with you on a regular basis, and we're so glad that you could cross over and talk to us about the history that you certainly know about Providence Point.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've had drinks. We've had videos, and now we've had you on the podcast.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So,
Coming
up, more Whelming Waters, and then comedian as we extend the Hamilton idea, James J. Are you tapping your toe to the Whelming Waters?
Yes.
Yeah.
And my feet, and my heels.
No, I love the song. And that song, as you'll hear when we talk to them, is coming out shortly here. It's what you're hearing is our mix. So please don't blame them. If it's bad, it's us. Because they literally did it acoustically.
Listen,
here.
And try saying Whelming Waters whiskey like 3 times in a row. You can't do it.
You can't do it.
Ain't gonna do it.
So we tried to extend the Hamilton theme, as we said, without extending. We didn't invite Hamilton Beach, the appliance people here. That's about the place to stop.
Or, like, we were going ham. Like, honey-baked hams are not here.
Right.
You know. We stopped at the Hokie.
But James J. Hamilton, as you know, we like to feature local musicians, local comics on the podcast. And this is one. You did say it before we started recording. I'm fanboying because I love James J. Hamilton's writing. I think it's Dennis Miller level, and I love it. So don't disappoint.
the pressure's on.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
James Hamilton, thank you for coming on the podcast, getting up so early.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
And here we are at the Heinz History Center. So tell us a little bit about generally, let's do the boring questions first. How you got into comedy, why you do it, and you know, is it therapy, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I suppose it's therapeutic in a way. I got into comedy, you know, almost a decade ago now. Just went out to an open mic and got hooked the first time and just haven't been able to stop going back.
And that's common to hear. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Made $11 last night on a show.
So are you originally from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I'm from the Pittsburgh area originally.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And so your full name is James J. Hamilton. Pretty fancy name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so
anything
fancy.
Anything you want to say?
Yeah, I made it up myself.
Okay. All right. So basically, mm-hmm. John was looking for somebody to fill this void, and you were like, my last name's Hamilton. Is that what went down?
Yeah, I chose it. I chose that as my fake stage name so many years ago just so I could get booked on this podcast.
That was smart. You have a really good vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Hamilton is not my real last name. I changed it, or I chose it as a stage name actually because of Alexander Hamilton, just because I'm a fan of his and I thought it was a cool name. Alexander Hamilton is very popular now because of the musical, but I was a fan of him like back before it was cool.
Like in the 1700s.
Yeah. Yeah, some kind of, you know, I'm a little bit like resentful of all these nowadays, what I will call the bandwagon Alexander Hamilton fans.
Yeah,
that's us.
Just start liking him after he gets popular. But I was there. I was there from the beginning.
Listen, not me. I knew nothing about history. I'm learning from Marilyn, and I'm learning from like going to PBS specials prior to seeing Hamilton musical. I admit it. Or I live vicariously through my children who have good history teachers.
And the fact that you are in the Alexander Hamilton history, does history play a part in your comedy at this point or no?
Occasionally, I mean, I've used it in different bits and stuff. One time I did a show, it was a theme show. The theme of the show was time travel, where each comedian was supposed to be like time traveling from a different time. You know, and someone did like they were from the 80s, someone was from the future, and I chose to be a stand-up comic who came from the year 1800.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And what were those jokes like?
They were, you know, I did my, you know, hot topical political material about the election of 1800, you know. Jefferson beat Adams, the incumbent. We didn't see that coming. And as, you know, my name's Hamilton. I claim to be Alexander Hamilton's second cousin. Oh. I was there when he invented rap music.
Okay. That's pretty smart stuff. And now, John is telling me that you have Dennis Miller-like, you know, writing capabilities. How does that happen? Take me back to like when you were younger. So is this something you always thought about doing? Like, were you the funny guy kind of thing?
I don't know. Maybe I was the quiet guy who would then go home and write the funny thing down.
Like you are so, ripping on me right now in your head, I feel like. Yeah. Like you're like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just, yeah. Yeah, I went.
Do it.
At the end, you know, I graduated college, and I have, like, this 50-page Word document of all these funny things, and I thought I need to do something with this.
Okay.
And started organizing it more and got into stand-up.
Okay. So what types of places have you performed here? I know you've done some things with DVE, which is a pretty big thing to put on a resume.
Yeah, I was on the DVE Comedy Festival local stage one time. Perform at Burning Bridges Comedy Club at Hambones in Lawrenceville a lot. Arcade Comedy Theater is one of my favorite places.
That is a great place. What's your favorite topic or type of material? I ask the hokey questions because I'm not in the comedy scene. So what's the material that's the easiest go-to?
I like to do jokes about topics that are deemed offensive.
Okay.
Like, one way that I have tried to work on jokes is I went on the internet and I Googled things you should not joke about. And I found several, like,
wow,
think pieces of people who are seriously making their list. You can't joke about this or that or this. And I just wrote all those things down on a list and just try to get a joke about each one.
And you're such a, like, a pleasant demeanor. You pull those off pretty well. People are like, oh, and then they laugh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You throw one.
Yeah,
throw
I think
one
a lot.
Of you.
Well, you know, I recently found out that the 5-second rule doesn't apply when you drop a baby.
Oh, my God.
You know, that baby's mom was mad.
Wow.
She did not appreciate how clean the baby still was.
Wow. Nice so meeting guess, you.
Yeah. Jokes like that, you just have to pretend like you don't understand what's wrong about your conduct.
Or that a mom of three is sitting to your left. Wow.
Favorite thing in Pittsburgh before we move along?
Favorite thing in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Favorite
thing of Pittsburgh to make fun of?
I don't know. Maybe the Pirates.
Yeah,
that's pretty a good one.
Yeah, you're a big Pirates fan, right?
No, actually, I'm not.
Oh. Good research.
I used to be when I was a little kid. Barry Bonds was my favorite baseball player, and then the Pirates got rid of him, and I was like, screw this. So I kind of got off the Pirates wagon right when the team started to be really bad, so I didn't have to go along with them for 20 years of losing seasons.
True story.
Did they turn you off to baseball completely?
No, I still like baseball. I played baseball.
Yeah. Do you remember the years of Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla, and Andy Van Slyke?
Yeah. Hello. Yeah, those were good years.
Yes. They were my brother's favorite. Andy Van Slyke to this day. He had like every memorabilia.
Does Bob Nutting get into your material at all, your performances, the Pirates?
No, so I once, like many years ago, I had a bit about, you know, how the Pirates stink and how I wanted to model my stand-up career after them because they make a lot of money even when they're not good. And I could come out and do the same old, like, bad jokes but still somehow fill the venue.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I had that joke, and then a few years ago when the Pirates, like, had a winning season, made the playoffs, I was like, oh, this joke doesn't work anymore because the Pirates are good now, but the joke comes back.
Yeah, right.
The Pirates will end up stinking again, and the joke works again.
True story. So where are you performing anytime soon? It's January. It's kind of the dead time. People are looking for things to do. Where can we find you?
I'm going to be at the Arcade Comedy Theater on January 19th for the Drinking Partners Night of Comedy with Dave Bracey and Ed Bailey put that on. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of great comics there that day.
Yeah. Yeah, weren't you just involved in some kind of holiday roast with DV?
Yeah, it was on the DV did the roast of Santa Claus.
And who were you?
I was Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
That's
so
awesome.
How did you roast Santa Claus?
It's tough. Santa, like I made fun of Santa as if Mrs. Claus had left him. And he was, hanging out at strip clubs and stuff.
Dropping babies.
Yeah. I love this guy.
I love it. James Hamilton, James J. Hamilton, thank you. We have the question of the day now. Your brush with grace.
Yeah, you got to hear it a couple times, so hopefully you get it, right? It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon scenario, but with Hamilton. So who's your 6 degree of separation, connection? Is it a cousin twice removed of somebody you know kind of thing?
I guess I think I have a good one because it's a historical one from Alexander Hamilton's time. My family is related to a guy named Louis Wetzel, who was a famous like Indian fighter of the time, and Wetzel County, West Virginia,
awesome.
Is named after him. So we're related to him. That's pretty cool.
It's a brush with greatness, right?
Mm-hmm. That's great. You're the first one to answer that, like, really the right way.
Yeah.
Right. Where does everybody find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at James J. Hamilton, and my website is jamesjhamilton.net.
Easy enough. Right. Yeah. Check him out on January 19th with the Drinking Partners.
Yeah, right. Cool. All right. Thank you very much. And coming up, we get to talk to the band members.
Say it three times.
The Whelming Waters Whiskey Song.
Awesome.
How
once.
About that?
That was once.
Well, my odds are better on a fixed roulette, cause my head is smoking like a cigarette, and I'm laughing like
So we got booted from our seats because the band needed to sit down after their major good performance.
The whole time we were podcasting. Yeah.
I mean, they wanted, like, certain color Skittles in their dressing room all for this podcast, so we figured we might as well
oblige. Make the color that Colin asked for.
So, listen, I have to say, giving John kudos again, you know, he said that he posted about needing a band that had some affiliation to history and the Whiskey Rebellion, and admittedly, because I have children and it's coming off the holidays, I didn't get to hear it. So, as you heard me say, he's brought some music. I like to bring the music because I know a little more about it. But he hit the jackpot. He hit the jackpot this time. You guys are fantastic.
Thank you.
And so I started to ask you, you know, prior to coming on, you're a sibling, your brother, sister going on right here.
Yeah, okay. Jeremy's my brother-in-law.
And Jeremy's
Kelsey,
cute.
Colin, and Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. I love
that.
It. I love the trio. So I love the story. How does it go? Mom said.
the story is that my mother said I started drinking whiskey a few years ago. and she said, oh, gosh, son, that's an alcoholic's drink. And I said, well, I like it. So that's kind of where the song came from. It's been written for years, and finally the band came along and made it a lot better. So
it's fantastic.
So who's like the official spokesperson? Is it you, Colin?
I guess me, but I got warned to not say anything inappropriate several times. Yeah, they don't like me with a microphone.
Kelsey, is he the person that embarrasses the family at parties?
Yes, and on stage as well.
And everywhere else, church, wherever we go.
But I started to ask you, if you come from, because your harmonies are dead on, and obviously you have to have that experience in some way, because you've only been together, what, since 2015?
Yeah.
You kind of formed. So that's not a ton of time. I mean, it's a decent amount of time. But to have your the articulation and the way you like know where each other are, that has to be homegrown. So you kind of said, your mom said, let Kelsey sing, right?
Yeah. My mom told me, and I never even thought about it. Not that we're not close, but it like clicked in my head. I'm like, oh my gosh, that'd be amazing. And it just worked from the beginning, honestly.
Yeah.
It's been great.
What kinds of things did you do as kids? I mean, did you do the pretend like Emmett Otter Band kind of things at home and use pots and pans? Or
we always sang.
Yeah. I mean, we were involved in a lot of theater and musical theater and choirs when we were in school.
Okay.
We were nerds.
Yeah.
music nerds. Jeremy was in jazz band.
Yeah, I guess we should throw it out there. We went to Norwin.
So okay.
Norwin is known for its music program, and myself being in the band and then the choir and stuff like that.
So. Okay, so it just kind of continued on. Yeah. So how do you classify the type of music that you play?
We try not to stick to like a particular genre. Like we have songs that are jazzy. We have songs that are full horn arrangements, but we also have like country songs and folk songs. So we like to do it all. Keeps it interesting.
So I'm going to talk about how we got you here to the podcast. So we posted on the River's Edge, as Rachel said, and as we said earlier, and you guys, Colin, you messaged. So, like, we don't know who you are. We don't know your songs. They go right to your Instagram. My favorite part of your Instagram, and everybody has to go look at it, is your Christmas song. And you do have to – I won't spoil the surprise, but you do have to watch it to the end. Jeremy, I love horns.
Yeah.
And you're the man.
It was a lot of fun. For some reason, we did a little Christmas video last year at their parents' house, which is where we practice. And we did a little moment in it where I started playing the saxophone. And for some reason, that video, even though it was really embarrassing, got more watches than pretty much anything else we did on social media all year.
Yeah.
So this year we decided we needed to recreate the magic, and we did another one.
That's awesome. Well, kudos to you, because I have to say, again, you don't hear harmony all the time. I mean, in different genres, especially, Pittsburgh area, it seems to be more onesie twosies that aren't so much harmony, because it's not always easy. So kudos to you guys for keeping that alive. Where are certain places that you're performing in Pittsburgh? Because we've certainly seen a rejuvenation of local Pittsburgh bands and things like that. We actually got to judge the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership Karaoke for the holiday season.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah,
I kinda wanted to do it.
Yeah, right. So you guys are going to need to be the ones to do it next time. Because you can only hear Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You enough, but you guys actually know what to do. So where can we find you as far as performing?
Well, right now we don't have any shows scheduled. We kind of are focusing on recording some songs, Whiskey Song being one of them. But last year, we played all around. We played at Arsenal Bowl, which we might be back at for the Rockin' Bowl. That was a fun show. That's in Lawrenceville. We played at Kativo, Hard Rock Cafe. Where else?
That's Mr. awesome.
Smalls, Greenhouse
All
Winery.
All over Lawrenceville. Greenhouse Winery in Irwin. A lot of
so
fun shows.
For 2019
yes,
right
we are.
Awesome.
And
okay.
We're going to look to go back to a lot of the same places and some new ones, too, of course.
Okay. So. Well, we certainly have some ideas for you as well, right?
Sure.
Now, Kelsey, so let's get to what the people really want to know. Like, you and Colin are brother and sister. Let's talk about the fights that happened when you were younger, and what kind of things are you guys harboring against each other when you're up on stage? Like, I remember that one time you told Mom.
Honestly, I mean, people tell us this all the time. We're way too nice to each other. And, like, we have an older sister, and so, like, she's 4 years older than me, and we're close in age. So we just, like, we kind of bonded growing up. So we were kind of, like...
Weirdos.
Yeah, we...
The two weirdos.
We never had any really bad arguments or fights. And that's a boring answer.
She fought with her older sister, and I had my own room, so I just ignored it all. Great.
That's smart guy, smart guy.
As far as who takes the lead, as far as on the harmony, like how this is going to work out, do you guys just kind of work it out, or it did seem very natural as we were watching you record your song today? Is it that natural that you just both know where to jump in?
Yeah, Colin normally comes up with a melody, and then I just kind of come up with whatever feels right. So it's just it's whatever's natural. Yeah.
And how awesome to have a collaboration with siblings, you know, once you're later on and like not as living in the same house anymore, but something to do together that I'm going to see my brother tonight and I'm letting him know that this is what we're doing now. He'll be so glad to hear that.
We have a full band too. I mean, you know, there's the three of us and then our two really close friends from high school, John and Nina, are also in. They couldn't make it out today, but, so we have a full ensemble going on drums and bass and everything.
That's
so
awesome. Yeah. Congratulations.
We're all really close.
Horns are my thing. And,
oh, yeah.
If you can go, we'll put up if you're listening to the podcast, you need to make sure you go to watch the video at some point because we recorded the song and Jeremy's just back there like the wandering sax guy. Just back in the background. Like I love that, like in some scene from some movie. There's just a sax guy wandering around in the background. He just jumped in there. It's totally awesome. So, how about the name of the band? Where'd that come from, Colin?
It's The Whelming Waters. I'll let Jeremy he came up with it, actually.
Hey, well, Jeremy, how about the name of the band?
So, I guess when most bands try to come up with a name, they grab the dry erase board and start writing things down.
Yeah.
And we kind of knew that we wanted something that was historical, because at that point we were a little bit more of a folk idea. We had more of the violin and the mandolin as more of a part of our band. And so I was looking for ideas online, and I found this poem about Johnstown. And in the poem, the poet used the words to describe the flood as the whelming waters. And After that, I looked it up and realized what the word whelming actually meant, because it's a dead word. People don't use it anymore.
Mm.
And in that context, it means to like cover or bury. So it means floodwaters that basically cover you. Or so. And it also is used to describe the floods in the Bible as well. So
it stands a reason
history.
It's a word, because overwhelming is a word. And I never really thought about that. Overwhelming.
Yeah.
I tell everybody it's like overwhelming without the over. So if you're looking for social media, search Whelming Waters, WHELMING.
Absolutely cool.
That's awesome.
Well, listen, I know we called you guys late in the week with this wacky idea, and you responded, and then you came down early this morning to the Heinz History Center to hang out with us. We can't. Whatever we can do to start promoting you guys, song.
Well, I have an idea. So afterward, we'll talk how we can do that.
Rachel, the agent. There we go.
I'm not signing anything. No contract.
But I mean, hey, you know, I mean, life doesn't get any bigger. Look at James J. Hamilton. He's like, I could have done Jimmy Fallon today, but no, I stayed in Pittsburgh.
He heard. Yeah, he heard what we were doing.
So yeah.
So question of the day is, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. 6 degrees of Hamilton this time. What is your brush with fame? Who do you guys know? Cousins twice removed. Uh-oh, Kelsey, they're looking at you.
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, I would defer to Jeremy on this one because he's done a lot of movie extraing in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll just say the most recent one was, I'm in the untitled Pickled movie and as an extra and... And if you don't know anything about it, it's starring Seth Rogen, and part of the movie is set 100 years ago in 1919. I guess it was Russia or Ukraine, Poland, or somewhere around there. But so because of my beard, if there's a video of this, they cast me to be an extra as a Russian Cossack. And I'm in a scene cheering on Seth Rogen in a fight. And he's basically the short bearded Jew against the gigantic Russian guy.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It's a stereotypical fight scene, but I won't spoil anything, but
nice. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
So you know Seth Rogen.
Frame is she knows Jeremy.
Yes.
So who knows who's
I was in the movie Abduction with Jeremy when it filmed in Pittsburgh. So I have a little cameo in that.
And that's how you look familiar, cuz I saw you.
my last name's Lindbergh, and my grandma always told me we're related to Charles Lindbergh. So I think that I'm the Lindbergh baby.
There you go.
I really do.
Literally.
I believe it.
I love it.
I'm like 94 years old.
I love it. That's great.
Well, again, Whelming Waters. Jeremy, where do they find everybody on? You're on Instagram and Facebook, right?
Instagram, Facebook. Facebook, we're just The Whelming Waters. Instagram is at The Whelming Waters Band.
Mm-hmm.
We're
on
SoundCloud.
TheWhelmingWaters.com.
And WhelmingWaters.com. TheWhelmingWaters.com.
Perfect.
Cool. And
thanks for your
song, as we're listening to this on Tuesday, comes out shortly after this?
Or towards the end of the month, beginning of February, it should be out. Okay. So you keep an eye on social media for it.
Absolutely, and we'll promote it as well. So thank you very much. Thanks to all of our guests, James J. Hamilton. Thanks to Marilyn Walsh. Thanks to Leslie Sabelic.
Good job. And, of course, to Robin.
Yes.
Elrod, who has been a gem to kind of help us get in with all things Hamilton this week and for us to even see Hamilton this week, to the band and to Brady here at the Heinz History Center for helping us
out. Yeah, they let us come down and panic a little bit, threw up a table for us and everything. And thanks to Colin Parrish, of course, who always comes and helps us, who's going to a big, exciting meeting after this. And we'll talk about that on another future podcast.
The next one.
And, and thanks, of course, to Total Sports Enterprises, who is always there for us, our sponsor. Total Sports Enterprises know their fans like deals, and when better to get the best deals than after the holidays. Head to TSC at the Mall at Robinson for everything from signed and unsigned athletes' picks to Palomalu puzzles and sales on your favorite pucks.
You still don't want to hit the mall? That's okay. Visit TSCShop.com and browse anytime for any and all of your black and gold.
Well, my odds are better on a fixed roulette, cause my head is smoking like a cigarette, and I'm laughing like a preacher while she cries. My mind is missing like a puzzle piece, yeah, I need some courage just to get relief, cause I'm watching while the young man in me dies. I'm gonna set your soul on fire, cause mama's preaching to the choir. Whoever said there is no heaven was a liar. Just let the whiskey take you higher, yeah. I'm dead. I'm gonna dress the town in red. Just remember what your mama always said. Don't let the whiskey go to your head.